All right. Let's get fired up here. Hello, and welcome to the very next episode of Read Rothbard. We're going to try a new format today, but let me start off by introducing my co-host and collaborator, Robert Johnson. How you doing, Robert?
I'm not going to say anything.
Perfect.
I mean, I will. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Just being cool. Yeah,
so,
another episode.
So we had a little bit of feedback on our first couple of episodes. We do appreciate you, listener. And heard that we were a little bit all over the place, so we're going to try to bring a new format, as I alluded to. We're going to bring in a clip from Rothbard and then some articles that are related and have a rather informal discussion, just two guys talking, have a run about half an hour, and make that a podcast. What do you say, Robert?
I don't know if we could do it any other way. Two guys talking, you know. Yeah, do it.
Yeah, and just so you know, listener, Robert has not yet heard one of our podcasts.
I refuse to listen. It's really awkward and embarrassing to listen to myself on the recordings. Dan sounds fine, but I sound like an idiot, and which is fine. You know, as accurate as it's going to get. So, you know, whatever. I'm just here to do this, man.
Well, and we probably actually are idiots, but we're idiots who have a grounding, a foundation on the NAP.
Ooh, I know what that is.
Ooh, do tell.
I'm not going to tell you. Secret.
All right, folks. The NAP, if you don't already know, is the non-aggression principle, and it's kind of the nugget that all of libertarianism is built upon. Well, that and property rights.
Yeah, it basically says you own yourself, and if you're going to attack anybody else, you're violating their ownership. So if you own yourself, and everybody else, then everybody else must own themselves. And you own the effects of your labor, and everybody else owns the effects of their labor. So if you're going to attack somebody or take somebody's stuff, you are violating their property rights.
And it's not to say that you cannot defend yourself. Self-defense is fully compliant with the NAP.
Yeah, it just says don't be a dick. You know.
Yeah, just don't be a dick.
Pretty simple. Pretty simple philosophy. But, as you'll see, if you take it and you let it run its course, runs in all kinds of issues with the current world that we live in, because taking people's stuff and being a dick is pretty much how people roll. So,
well, that's politics for you.
Yeah. You got to take other people's stuff and then give it to other people so that those people will support you so that you can keep taking people's stuff. It's pretty sweet.
Pretty sweet. All right, well, let's introduce a clip by Murray Rothbard talking about the calculation problem under socialism, kind of touches on some of this, and we'll discuss a few relevant articles after this.
How will the state decide what to tell them to do? That's the real problem, socialism. There's no way a socialist government can calculate and try to figure out who do we set aside, Barry, how many people, what price do we set, who's going to carry out the garbage, how many people should carry out the garbage. There's no way the socialist government can calculate because, as Mises pointed out, there's no free price system. There's no private ownership of the means of production by definition, and therefore there's no property titles, there's no free market in property titles, there's no way to set up a real price system. There's no way a socialist government can calculate. It's economic chaos.
Preach it, brother.
Well said. Well said, Mr. Rothbard. So, Robert, go ahead.
No, he's right. It's chaos. It's a bunch of people doing their best guess, and what they ended up having to do in these socialist, pure socialist systems like the USSR and such a, what they had to do was they had to copy the prices of free market systems because they had no idea of what a pound of butter was worth or a pound of nails. And so you ended up with these ridiculous systems and like these quota systems where you had like, okay, we need to ship, you know, 50 pounds of nails to Siberia or whatever. So they'd make like one giant 50-pound nail and call it good.
And yeah, these
You made your quota. Hey, we can't complain. So yeah, these massive gluts of things, you know, all these goods and goods would just be laying around, just unused because you have this massive glut of X thing because they ordered X thing and not enough of Y thing. So you have this massive shortage in Y and massive glut in X, and you have this just tremendous inefficiency across the board because you have no idea what anything's worth.
Well, because prices, prices are telling you information.
Yeah, they're just indicators of what people value and how much they value a thing. And you don't have that. So you have no idea how much a thing is worth. You don't – all you have, you can, you know, you write charts and do things that you've seen in the past, but you don't have perfect knowledge. So you can't decide where best to allocate any given thing. So central planning is always going to fail. You've got a couple of people trying to decide what's best for millions of people when any one of them couldn't even run their own life or even know what's best for themselves in any given situation. So how could they possibly know what's best for millions of other people at any given time, let alone have the moral right to force other people to do what they say?
At the point of a gun.
Indeed. So to be so arrogant, to be so sure that you know what's right and that if you don't do it, I'm going to shoot you, and then to claim compassion and benevolence and that, man, we just care about everybody and, man, communism is just the best and you're just doing what's right by your fellow man, it's just a joke. Anyway, that's my tirade on that. Just getting started, though.
Well said. So I've got a related quote. It's Hayek talking about the pretense of knowledge, which I think you were alluding to. So here's the quote. Unlike the position that exists in the physical sciences, in economics and other disciplines that deal with essentially complex phenomena, the aspects of the events to be accounted for about which we can get quantitative data are necessarily limited and may not include the important ones. In the study of such complex phenomena as the market, which depends on the actions of many individuals, all the circumstances which will determine the outcome of a process will hardly ever be fully known or measurable. End of quote.
Right. There are all kinds of factors that go into any given action purchase or what have you that are completely hidden. All you know is the end result. So how could you possibly – how do I even say this? Never mind. I had a thought and it disappeared.
Well, maybe it'll come back to you. I'll take the reins for a moment here. So, yeah, there is a pretense of knowledge where you, as a planner, assume that you can solve for these things, you know, using high-speed computers or a panel of experts or anything along those lines. But what it doesn't account for is that there are millions upon millions of interactions, voluntary interactions, that is what creates the market. That's all that free market capitalism is. It's an unimpeded voluntary exchange where both parties expect at the outset to benefit. Now, it's not the case that everyone will actually benefit, but they make the trade because they think they would be better off. Thus, wealth and value is created and exchanged. Now, to assume that you can calculate or figure these things out ahead of time or using surveys or computer models doesn't take into the account of anything that isn't input into your model or the fact that over time, moment to moment, people change their minds, situations change, they're very fluid. It's even more akin to the weather, you know, and all these molecules bouncing around in the atmosphere and then trying to say that you can accurately predict the outcome of, you know, the butterfly effect, like a butterfly flapping his wings on the other side of the earth and what will happen, you know, on this side of the earth. Did your thought come back to you by now?
No. Oh, it's gone. I was mesmerized by what you were saying.
Oh, it's not good.
Oh, yeah. You were really going on there. It's good. Yeah, so there are any, yeah, these multitude tiny little things to take into account. And like you were saying, the time equation, the time instance. So even if you were to try and solve and say that, you know, we're going to some sort of a resource model, and everyone's going to get exactly what they need, and all you have to do is fill out the survey, like you need 2 pounds of butter, you know, this month, and you need 12 gallons of milk, and what have you. Well, as soon as you fill that out, it's instantly incorrect, and you send that in, and you send all the machinations of production into process based on this information. It's instantly incorrect. People are going to, first of all, they're going to claim that they need more than they actually do or what have you. They're never going to be 100% accurate. And even if they wanted to be, they're not going to be. All you can do is guesstimate. Like, what are you going to say? Like, I'm probably going to eat a tuna sandwich for lunch. It's going to be about this big. It's going to weigh about this much. I don't know. Whatever. The idea that you're going to be able to predict any of that is ridiculous, and it's incredibly arrogant to even try, honestly.
Yeah, and situations do change, and people change their minds moment to moment. You might prefer a tuna sandwich today and a bologna sandwich tomorrow, though I wouldn't. I think bologna smells and tastes disgusting. But you know, it doesn't even take into account the factor of how much time it takes to produce any given thing. You know, like a ham sandwich, just from the ground up, takes years and years to produce, if you really think about it. You know, the tires have to be made for the truck that transports the cattle or the pigs, you know, to the butcher who, you know, the iron foundry made the equipment, and on and on and on. And, you know, do the same thing for the bread and for the butter and for the mayonnaise and all of those things. And it's actually millions and millions of people who all contributed to making sure that there was that bread, that butter, that ham available for you at that deli on your street corner today when you needed it. You know,
that is
some amazing shit that just cannot be calculated ahead of time.
And another thing, if you're given like a survey and you're saying, well, you need X amount of mayonnaise, and say you're given a choice of like, do you want this premium mayonnaise or do you want like this bargain mayonnaise? Well, everyone's going to always pick the best mayonnaise. Whereas, you know, something that's not quite necessarily as fancy is what you're going to pick based on prices. But in some sort of a survey situation, you're always going to pick the best. You're always going to pick the most. It doesn't make any sense. The idea that you can just create some sort of a model and say there's X amount of mayonnaise to go around. Not to mention the fact that this may lead into our next idea, the whole entire motivation problem with socialism.
Yeah, and we may talk about that on a future episode because I think we got enough golden nuggets here to go over for days. But you were talking about the choice between low-quality, low-grade mayonnaise and high-grade mayonnaise. And in a survey situation, of course, everyone's going to pick the high end because there's nothing, there's no price there allocating who prefers it more than other types of mayonnaise.
Right.
You know, some people are going to be willing to pay for something that's a higher quality, but pay a higher price. And without having a method of determining that, then everyone's going to, of course, demand the highest grade because it's costless to them. So you're essentially increasing the demand for any given thing, but not giving any information to provide for the supply end of it.
Right. It's like when you go to a doctor and everything's paid for by some sort of, you know, socialistic medicine or what have you. And you're like, well, let's just order up all the tests. Who cares? Doesn't cost me anything. I'm going to get tested for everything under the sun. So it's completely inefficient. If you actually had to pay the cost for each test, maybe be a little bit more judicious about exactly what you might want to get tested for. So if you actually had to pay the cost of the higher end mayonnaise, or if you could just pay, you know, you get a little bit less and then be able to allocate that cost to somewhere, that, you know, savings over to another item, which is what we do in capitalism.
Yeah, we show our preferences through our voluntary interactions and purchases.
Which is somehow oppressing somebody else somewhere at all times for some reason.
Yeah, you're oppressing me with your choices.
By offering me choices, you're somehow oppressing me.
So let's talk a little bit about a calculation situation in real life that's playing itself out somewhat in the news today, and that is Venezuela. So,
yeah.
Robert, what have you been hearing about Venezuela just in general?
All right, so Venezuela is a primetime shit show. It's got the highest amount of, well, according to current estimates, the highest amount of oil reserves in the world. And it is chaos and destruction, like, everywhere. People are just dying in the streets, dying in the hospital beds. The hospitals don't have enough electricity to run the machines, so you got babies on ventilators, and they don't have electricity to run the ventilators. So you've got nurses and volunteers manually pumping oxygen in these little babies' lungs for hours and hours and hours and hours on end. Just lack of supplies. The only way they could get medicine is through the black market, which is, as we've said, people interacting freely. You've got, you know, years ago they nationalized the oil industry, which is basically just a fancy way of saying they stole it from private companies that were set up shop there. So they've got their, I forget the name of the oil company, but their U.S. branch is Citgo. So if you want to support what's going on down there, buy Citgo, I suppose. Or maybe you want to help the people out. I don't know how much money is actually going to the people or whatever. But so you got that. They stole that. And then things were riding high. When the coffers are full, you know, they're riding all that success and getting all this credit in the form of all this goodwill, because they were able to provide value, you know, like oil for like a few pennies a gallon down there, And there's all these other industries that they nationalized, basically stole. They stole the biggest supermarket chain, and they nationalized a lot of the media and silenced a bunch of critics and, you know, all that fun stuff that totalitarian regimes often do. But then they were able to subsidize cheap goods, which further engenders, you know, benevolence. Yay, these people are getting cheap goods for everybody. We care about the poor, that kind of crap.
Yeah, can I interject for a moment?
Please do.
So actually in the Constitution of Venezuela, Article 305, it says the government shall guarantee the population a secure food supply, which I think is tying into your point there that they're buying all this goodwill with people by having it in their constitution that, oh, yeah, we're going to give you free food, we're going to guarantee this. And while they're riding high on high oil prices, they're able to make good on part of that.
Right. So when they have got all these money from all these high oil prices, it's like a trust fund kid that doesn't have to do anything, doesn't have to work. It's just got this big, giant bank account. And you can do whatever you want. You do all kinds of stupid shit. You buy stupid things, and you become an alcoholic, and you waste all kinds of money because you don't care. It's free money. You didn't earn it. What do you care? And then now when the oil price takes a shit and all of a sudden the trough runs dry, then your system is exposed for what it is. And you don't – you've got this spontaneous, because people will try and survive. It's what human beings do in the face of adversity. They will become ingenious and get ideas. And so you've got all these government-subsidized goods that are in very short supply. Everything's in short supply in Venezuela. Can't get medicine, can't get food, can't get enough of any of these things anyway. So you got these government-subsidized supermarket chains where these goods come in, and they instantly get bought out so that the cupboards are basically bare. And they get bought out by these people, and they're kind of like speculators who go in and buy it all up and then resell it at actual market prices because the government is essentially selling it for far less than market price, market value. And these people are derided as, I don't know, they're called like some sort of an ant, vaquero or something. I'm totally butchering that. Don't quote me. Anyway, so then these people are turning around and reselling. They're essentially waiting in the bread line and then getting in first, buying up a bunch of stuff. And I'm sure they probably have some sort of a, you can't buy any X more than X number of these things or something to try and spread it out to as many people as possible. But there are complaints that people are going hungry because the cupboards are bare, essentially, by the time they get there or whatever. But you have these people who are spontaneously creating a market for these goods or selling them at actual market value, and they're the ones kind of getting some of the blame. Although I would say that the government is finally getting some of the blame. I would hope so. I mean, people that were saying it's some sort of socialist paradise, hopefully waking up to that fact that it is a nightmare. And hopefully socialism is getting the blame, but who knows? I'm a pessimist about these things because we're incredibly socialist here, and it's only the last vestiges of the free market that are allowing us to have the prosperity that we do have.
Well, that's a downer.
Sorry, bud.
No, that's pretty good stuff to discuss and take apart. So it's essentially price controls by the government that are creating or contributing to the situation, to where you have Bernie Sanders' favorite thing, the breadline, which allows for equal opportunity for the distribution of goods. So, you know, whoever gets in the line first gets first dibs. So sucks to be you if you can't stay in line for hours and hours.
Right.
So I'm not sure how that's more fair than having fully stocked shelves and having money to be able to make purchases based on your desires and preferences. But if you think about it, you know, these people going in and buying the stuff, they're buying it to resell it. So they are, in fact, speculators, and they're making the goods available to people who value them for a higher price. So in essence, they're doing a service. You know, like the same good in two different locations is no longer the same good. The location and the environment and the delivery method all makes it a different transaction. And so they are, in fact, providing a service because whoever's buying it for them isn't either in the breadline or able to get far enough in, you know, at the beginning of the breadline to be able to make these same purchases.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, they would do that, right?
Right.
And, you know, I brought up Bernie because a few years ago he was quoted as saying that he thought bread lines were great and a nice way of distributing goods. And yet, when confronted with a question about how Venezuela is falling apart, he won't talk about it. There's a clip of him recently saying that he'd rather focus on his presidential campaign versus talking about a stark example of in-your-face failure of the socialism that he's advocating.
Yeah, they're talking about the inflation is getting so bad, and they're claiming that there's actually a lot of indicators that they're holding the value artificially high of their dollar. Or I forget the name of their currency is, but most people are anticipating an Argentinian level situation with the Venezuelan currency. So abject failure, and I'm not surprised they don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, it's funny. I've also seen a bunch of pictures of the lines to get into his rallies, and they're, you know, very, very long, like a mile long or more. And there's a meme going around that it's all these Bernie supporters are just practicing for the future red lines.
You do find some good memes. I haven't seen that one. That's good.
But, you know, to talk a little bit more just anecdotally, and I don't have the sources in front of me, but I'll find them and then put them into the information with this episode. But they're unable to print their currency right now because they can't purchase enough paper, I guess, that they have to buy it from somewhere else, and their money's not worth enough to get the paper to print it on.
Hilarious.
Other anecdotal things are, I believe, Coca-Cola, which has a bottling facility there, because the price of sugar has gone up because the sugar market is an international market. They're not able to purchase sugar anymore, so they're not producing any sugared drinks, but able to work on, you know, like artificial sweetened drinks still.
Yeah, and their largest beer manufacturer had to stop making beer because they didn't have the materials to make it. And I forget the name of the guy, the president, El Presidente.
Maduro.
Maduro, that sounds right. But yeah, he was complaining that the private businesses were traitors because they weren't producing enough goods, and he threatened to nationalize them. As if that would solve everything, because what the real problem is that everything isn't nationalized.
Yeah, yeah. I think that he also goes around saying that it's a plot by the West that's disrupting his country's economy. So he's blaming it on the West.
Well, you got to externalize the threat if you're going to make an enemy and galvanize the will of the people behind you, I suppose. It's what
Orwell's taught as well.
That's right.
So just another anecdote, there was an article a few years ago that was praising the work that Chavez had done in implementing the socialist economy. And this, of course, was back in the days when oil prices were much higher, and so there were a lot more vast sums of money coming in, which was able to support all of this. And it reminds me of the quote from Margaret Thatcher, who says that the problem with socialism is that eventually you run out of other people's money.
Yes. I want to point out, I'm being very glib and talking about how Venezuela is the shit show and how this is terrible or whatever, or kind of making it like it's hilarious. But people are actually dying and because of this. People are dying right now as we record this episode. People are falling down dead because of this. And I think we got to figure it out that this is the reason why. Other people will probably say it's some other reason. Somebody will blame some oil cartel or what have you for creating too much oil, and who knows. But this is a horrific situation, and this is a direct example of the murder. And, okay, you might want to say it's not murder, but it's very much death by government, very much so. These people do not have to die, but they are dying because of the free market is not able to operate correctly. Goods and services aren't able to be traded freely. People, these shortages are due to government interference and government price controls, and it's killing people, and I sure wish more people realized that.
Yeah, and your point earlier was interesting because, of course, they're the ones who claim the moral high ground and claim to be the more compassionate and caring about everyone, but the very nature of their philosophy is that of envy and theft and violence. And so they're using those means to attempt to achieve the ends, but they're failing and getting the exact opposite.
Right. Because people aren't motivated by some moral sense to serve their fellow man or what have you. You, Because you can't, that gets into a whole other discussion about the motivation issue. But, yeah, they claim the moral high ground where they have a gun at your back at the same time. And because they care about the poor or the downtrodden or whatever, and what they really want is a dependency class that will keep voting them into power and voting them more stolen goods. And it's horrific, and it kills people. Anytime you're using violence in an attempt to solve a problem, you may temporarily solve that problem, but what you're doing is you're creating other problems. Because people tend to resent it when they're forced to do a thing, when they're violently attacked to get them to do a thing. And rightfully so, because you're violating their property rights. You have no right. Because if you had that right, then I have the right to attack you. And does that sound right? Does it? Does it sound right that I have the right to just stick a gun in your face and demand your stuff? Does it? I hope not.
You sound like a mugger.
I do, don't I? Huh, weird.
Yeah, well, you know, it's just two guys talking, and I think we should probably wrap it up here. But I'll just throw another meme out there. There's another one with Bernie Sanders, and he's kind of pointing at you. And it says, want to hear everything I know about economics? Pull my finger.
Cute. Cute.
So that's it for this episode of the Reed Rothbard podcast. I hope you guys enjoyed the new format. More content is getting added to the site all the time. And Robert, you want to plug your book or anything else that's going on?
Just a second. When we talk about economics, we mean basically one thing. We mean human action. Don't get scared away by saying economics. We're just people. It's a study of people doing people things. So if you like people, you're probably going to like economics from our point of view. Not so much the Keynesian idea, but the Austrian idea. But anyway, yeah, I will.
Charts and graphs. It's not all about charts and graphs and equations.
Right, right, right. Not some dry shit. Yeah, the book is coming along. May wasn't the most productive month. I've had various things. I've got this horrific day tomorrow. It's going to be a nightmare. I'm going to join the elderly. But progress continues. I'm really excited about it. I can't wait for people to start reading it. It's called Kit Tamarack, Wizard for Hire. And it's a wizard. He's a wizard in the loosest sense of the word. But he is just a working class guy that is trying to serve his customers. And he lives in a crazy world. And he has to deal with, what else? A government. And so, yeah, I'm really enjoying writing it. And I hope to have it done in the next couple months.
Well, I'm looking forward to it, and I think you were sharing with me the other day that you got a new keyboard that makes it easier for you to type it in a more comfortable position, so I hope that increases your output. It's one of the gifts of capitalism, giving you better tools to achieve your goals.
I'm being impressed, by the way. This keyboard is amazing.
So many options of keyboards, man. It's too much.
I just wish I had one option. I wish someone stuck a gun in my face and told me what option I had to get.
You know, Bernie did say that there's too many different types of deodorant out there, and there should just be one.
He didn't really say that.
He did say
really?
That. Look it up. Yeah, I'll include that in the information with this show. He's crazy, man. I tell you, he's crazy.
It's unbelievable. Unbelievable the things that come out of that guy's mouth.
All right, well, that's kind of a long, winding wrap-up to the show. So thank you guys very much. We appreciate it, and look forward to another show posted every Friday. We're going to try to keep it to about a half an hour. And if the new format works out for you, we'll try to include some Rothbard and then some discussion based on that for future shows.
Yeah, buddy.
All right. Catch you guys later.
Take it easy, guys. Chipmunks. C-H-I-P-M-U-N-K. We're the chipmunks. Guaranteed to brighten your day. Do-do. Do-do-do-do. Do-do. Do-do-do-do.